Ken, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been around for many moons. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins and precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We are a high-volume, low-margin dealer. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. We're located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza in Spokane, 444-0044, outside toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or the website at coinsplus.com. So what's all going on out there? We got the whole Trump showdown going on. Maybe I'll talk about that in a minute. You know, something that's just kind of, I think, is on my mind here. And maybe everything doesn't hit the news like this, but we've got girls dying. No, there's a 5-year-old girl that just died the other day from the flu. Guess what? After she was vaccinated for it. Folks, are we not getting this? It doesn't work. Here's what I like. I found these statistics. I may have read these on the show. Do a little Google search. It says, it says 5 to 15%, 5 to 20% in another spot, of Americans will contract the flu. Then it says these statistics up separately. 5 to 20% of Americans will contract the flu in a given year. Then it says in another spot, and now these are major statistics supposedly, of vaccinated individuals, 60% shouldn't get the flu. That means that 40% get the flu, which means people who are not vaccinated, 5 to 15%. In fact, let's be more technical. If it says 5 to 15 or 5 to 20% of Americans will get the flu, and then it says of vaccinated individuals, 40% will get the flu, that means of the unvaccinated individuals, they'd have to be below the 20% level to bring the average of all Americans down, which means the people who are getting vaccinated either are running up to that 60% level or the non-vaccinated are lower. I don't know. But the bottom line is they don't work. Folks, it's a scandal. It's a scam. It's a huge money-making scheme. And it's not just, you know, making money. It's killing people. They're injecting this year it's the H3N2 virus that's attacking everybody so hard. And they're saying this is one of the toughest flus, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's the H3N2 virus. Well, guess which virus they vaccinated against this year? Oh, that's right. The H3N2 virus. And guess which, they vaccinate against the H3N2 virus and everybody gets the H3N2 virus. And what I was going to say a minute ago before I forgot was, and I don't know how I was going to word it, but the vaccine they're saying is ineffective. Guess which vaccine they're saying is ineffective this year? Ineffective or not as effective. Folks, that information matters, doesn't it? And you think, okay, well, no harm, no foul. Wrong again. There are children. The autism theory is true, okay? There's kids getting autism. There's SIDS. There's all kinds of stuff. But here's what's more. This runaway rampant autoimmune deficiency disorders that are going all over and all these illnesses and sicknesses, folks, It is all directly proportional to the increase in vaccinations in our nation, period. I mean, the statistic, I've seen the graphs. In fact, you want to talk about graphs on vaccinations, go back. You know, everybody, the big one everybody goes off of is, well, it cured the polio virus. You know, you got to think, folks, in life, in the world, vaccines or viruses and bacteria, they run their course. I mean, let's face it. I mean, yeah, we had the bubonic plague and all this stuff. And yeah, it's bad. And for some reason, God lets it, you know, take out a lot of lives and clean up. And, you know, who knows why. But we've got so many people that are now carrying all this stuff around. We're getting, you know, we're basically getting lied to about everything. And like I said, it all goes back to the polio vaccine. And they say that Polk or whatever the guy's name that invented the vaccine stopped polio. And the fact of the matter is the graph of polio was on a decline at the time. Not just a mild decline. It was on about a 60-degree downward slope at the time of the introduction of the vaccine, of the first polio vaccination. And simultaneously, you know, things worked themselves out. Now, I'm not saying people still get polio. But back then, it was a lot more prevalent because we, you know, we're still learning. And I can't even believe the amount of people that they want getting vaccinated. My wife has an autoimmune deficiency. She's got rheumatoid arthritis. It came into effect when she got her last booster shot at whatever, 10 or 12 years old. That's what happens. And women have a 9-to-1 ratio of autoimmune disorders because when on top of the poisons and everything else, which, by the way, you don't know what's in these shots and you don't know the quantities. And we have like Gulf War syndrome where men died of the most heinous, hideous death possible. Their wives caught it. Unbelievable from these vaccinations. But what happens at one level, and again, there's multiple levels to these that damage the human body. I've done studies. I have research. I didn't prepare it for today. But when the virus goes into your body through an injection, remember, your skin is the single most important organ on your body. Without your skin, you would die in days. You are constantly being barraged with everything. A guy I know spoke to me last week, and he goes, hey, Kevin, he goes, I think I'm going to have to go to the doctor and get checked out. I go, why is that? He goes, well, I got exposed to MRSA and hepatitis. And I said, where? And he goes, at the hospital. And they told me I should go get checked out. Well, he'd only been there. He'd been at the hospital the night before. And I said, well, first of all, with MRSA, you know, MRSA and staph are just real heavy-duty bacterial. You know, they can create massive, very eventually terrible infections. But your skin protects you. Okay, you can inhale this stuff, folks, and you do a lot. And in 99.99% of the time, when you inhale it, it goes through your system just fine. Your system, the bacteria and everything cope with it. Once in a blue moon, it won't work out so well for you, but very, very rarely. But in general, what I told him is I said, we are constantly, continuously exposed to MRSA. We're constantly, continuously exposed to staph and strep and all these other, you know, bacteria. And our body just copes with it. That's what our skin does. If it happens to breach the skin in a way that it gets to a certain point, you know, if it gets into a wound and it gets settled in and it doesn't get treated and you start to get a little infection and, you know, and it can grow, it can become a problem, especially if the skin grows around it or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you know, that's why if you get a cut on your finger or whatever, use a Band-Aid, use like Neosporin, clean it with hydrogen peroxide, A lot of people use rubbing alcohol. That's fine, too, but it's not as good. Hydrogen peroxide is better. But most hydrogen peroxide that you get, by the way, which is an incredibly organic product, the Native Americans were using it. It came out of the shaft of certain flowers throughout Montana. I know that. They just squeezed it out, and there's 1% hydrogen peroxide. It's pretty impressive. But it's a God thing. It's good stuff. Hydrogen peroxide is just peroxide. Instead of hydrogen dioxide is water. That's not right, is it? H2 would be two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Hydrogen peroxide is, what is that? Three parts oxygen. So it's HO3. But the bottom line is it's got an extra unstable oxygen molecule, and that molecule wants to attach to something, and it basically, it releases on anything organic, anything carbon-based, believe it or not. So it will attack bacteria, dead flesh. It's really an interesting chemical compound. And it won't hurt other things. I buy food-grade hydrogen peroxide, which is really high. It's like 38%. And then I dilute it with regular hydrogen peroxide. You got to be really careful if you do that. If you get like food-grade hydrogen peroxide, it is fire water. I mean, it will burn. It'll do damage if you're not careful with it. But people use that to kill warts. I killed the planter's wart with it, you know, et cetera. It'll burn right through. And so it's a great thing. But, you know, your regular 1% hydrogen peroxide you get at the store, you use that on cuts. If you get a cut on your finger, your hand, and you should treat it. You use like Neosporin, tape it up, whatever. You just keep it covered. A lot of people, I'll tell you, here we go. I've been, you know, back in the day, I was EMT certified. There was a time that was my area of interest, and I got certified in EMT and CPR and all that stuff. And among other things in the medical area. A lot of people think, oh, it's good if you leave a cut to air out. No, that's actually not good from what I just talked about. Number one, your entire atmosphere is packed with all kinds of villains that want to attack your body. So, no. Number two, it dries the skin out and it won't heal as well. And so you definitely want, if you have a cut or injury, you want to keep an antibiotic on it, ointment like Neosporin, which won't allow it to develop. You want to keep a clean hydrogen peroxide rubbing alcohol, and then you keep it taped up and covered with like a Band-Aid. You change it regularly, and you don't let the Band-Aid get wet, because if it gets wet and it just sits there wet, it's not good. So I'm just telling you this because I can't believe how many people have said, I've heard it's good to let it air out. Yeah, it's great to let it crack and let it get dry so it keeps cracking and you keep bleeding and you get a scar. No, if you keep it moist and you keep with the, you know, and keep germs out, you won't get scarring and all that. You also won't get an infection. I've literally know of a person who started with a paper cut in their finger, who ended up with such severe staph infection over time, they lost the upper half of their finger, okay? So that's pretty rare, yes, extreme. But the fact is, you know, just take care of yourself. Be wise, be knowledgeable. And since we're on that topic, consider the fact, folks, that each and every one of us gets one car for life. You get one vehicle for life, one automobile. It's called your human body. That's our vessel, right? That's our spiritual worship. We get one. He drops our spirit into this vessel. When we're young, we're amazing. We're phenomenal. We look good. We run fast. We jump high. Some people are ridiculously athletic. Others are moderately athletic. Others aren't athletic at all, but they'll have talent in music or other things. Unfortunately, in our society, we worship the vessel God gives people. We literally gather in stadiums with, you know, 25 to 40,000 people and scream at the top of our lungs. And while we watch people who were given really amazing physical vessels run around and play a sport, right? We're glorifying the creation, not the creator. We're glorifying the talent that God gave them. And then it goes to their head, and they're, you know, and they're kneeling, and they refuse to stand for the, you know, the singing of the national anthem to pledge allegiance to our nation. Why? Because they were given a big talent and we worship it and it goes to their head. They think they're special. They think they matter more than they do in God's eyes. You and I were given a vessel to deal with. Deal with it. Folks, I mean, self-control. Think of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Self-control, it's last. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. In Greek, last is big, right? Self-control. You have to control that bad boy. And I'm not kidding you, folks. I get it. You know, the human body, everybody's built different too, which is really weird. I don't know where the combination of the spirit connects to the mind, connects to the body, connects to the, you know, I don't know. But I know some people, they don't have addictive personalities at all. They don't even want anything. And then you got other people that they'll take anything that stimulates their nerve endings. Those that don't have the spirit or the that yearning to escape or feel relief, you know, in other words, those who don't have addictive personalities, who don't maybe, who aren't drawn to whatever vice gets us, tend to judge those who are. In fact, in our society, we tend to judge addictions or people who are addicted far beyond a reasonable level. In fact, we've got our prisons filled with people literally for drug possession because they want to escape. They've got issues. You know, spiritually, we should understand that more than anybody. We're going to heaven someday. What's heaven going to be like? Perfection, right? I mean, that's ultimately what these people are trying to get to too early. They're trying to get to heaven too early. And depending on how you're raised and your experiences, your responses to drugs and alcohol are different. I went through some tough times. I definitely used that stuff for escape for a number of years. And I never got like, you know, the meth guy that breaks into everybody's house and steals from his uncle and rips his sister off. That's when we're like over the top, right? But these people don't, intend to end up like this. We get dumpster divers at our building. And, you know, most of the time I shoo them away. Well, and we have cameras all around our building. I mean, we can see everything going on inside, outside, everywhere. And we have like 42 cameras. So before I leave at night, I watch the whole entire building. I can see everywhere outside. We have cameras placed so I can see behind the dumpster. I can see behind bushes and shrubs and trees. We just have them everywhere. And so the other night when I was leaving, I saw a guy out there, you know, with an emergency blanket and some stuff. And my spirit told me something was different. And I went out, talked to the guy, you know, he was a homeless guy-ish, and he's literally sleeping and it's freezing out. And he's got a hoodie and a t-shirt and he's got one of these emergency blankets and he's trying to sit on a backpack full of stuff and rest or something. And I'm talking to him for a while and I'm finding out, you know, he's had 5 of his last 12 years, he's been in prison for drug possession. And, you know, I asked him about the homeless shelters. He said, you know, he had an interesting point, you know, and he said, well, the problem with the homeless shelters is you're packed in there like sardines. You're stacked on top of each other. He said, everyone there steals, so you can't, they steal all your stuff. And he said, there's rampant homosexuality there. He said the homosexual activity is just rampant. And then he said, you know, whether it's true or not, he said some of these Christian places, he said, well, he didn't say Christian. He said they parade you in front of people that they want money from, and they make you say how great everything is and how your life is so perfect now since you found this home. And, of course, you know, he's got, like you said, the drug testing and all this other stuff. And I'm not, you know, justifying him, just repeating it. And I thought that was an interesting point because, like, I talked to the guy for quite a while. obviously, you know, none of us want to end up there, folks. I mean, I prayed for him and, you know, and I, you know, I don't know what else I could have done. Because if I'd have given him money, it would have went straight to drugs. And I knew that. And I told him that. I said, I can't give you money. I know you'll spend it on drugs. He said, yeah, I would. So I said, I can't do it. But the fact is, just even getting the thought in the head that, you know, do we do this as Christians? Do we take our good deeds where we help one another and then try to parade them before others to say, look at how good we're doing? Or if we take a human and parade them before other humans and say, look how great they are. Look how great they're doing since they met us and came to our home or our, you know, and he, you know, and you get into atmospheres where they take people that have lost everything and they're hurting and they, you know, they have to conform. But Jesus said, you're not supposed to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. That which is done in secret will be glorified in heaven. He says, if you get your glory on earth, you're done. So just remember, you know, do good deeds, folks. If you love the Lord and you're saved, you will do good works. It's not a matter of earning salvation. It has nothing to do with it. But do good deeds and let God be the rewarder, okay? Let him give you your award. And so, anyway, there we are on that topic. Enough of that for a while. Trump showdown, right? I am kind of baffled about this. They've got this. I think they should be calling it the Schumer shutdown. Chuck Schumer's the minority leader, if you know it, in the Senate or in the House. And they are adamant, they're vehement about getting the government shut down. Why? Because they want to take the focus off of all these incredible things that Trump has done. We just got an announcement this week that Apple is bringing back $350 billion from overseas into the U.S. based on the new tax code. Now, understand this. Trump is not their favorite. Trump is despised. And I'm sure the leaders of Apple were just hesitant to even say this, to come out and admit it. Trump did it. I mean, he's doing such amazing stuff for this nation. And Nancy Pelosi, the prior House Majority Leader, Speaker, who's now apparently subordinate to Chuck Schumer. And I mean, I don't know about you, but if you watch much of this stuff, when I see Chuck Schumer talk, I see evil, folks. And I'm not sure, you know, why, but I think God do. But the fact of the matter is these guys, they absolutely are just, Nancy Pelosi came out and she compared, you know, Trump's tax plan, she said, to having somebody give you a bowl of dog poop with a cherry on top. This is how professional these people are. This is how they just cannot. Partisan politics is just, it's rampantly disgusting. And I have discussed the fact that they, our founding fathers, warned against a two-party system. And I mean, folks, it is exactly what they say. Their threats, their fears, when they say beware of a two-party system, it is, you know, John Adams said, there's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the republic into two great parties. First of all, remember we're a republic, folks. Do you know how many times people call this a democracy? Do you know how many times I've heard that? So many, I can't even believe it. I mean, we are not a democracy. We are a republic with a democratic form of election, period. Simple as that, right? So he says, there's nothing which I dread as so much as a division of the republic into two great parties. So you've got him, and then next is George Washington, specifically saying their greatest fear for this nation, Their number one fear, he says, there's nothing I dread so much as the division of the Republican into two great parties. They nothing greater. Their greatest fear was the two-party system. So then I've talked to people and they say, well, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? The alternative is independence, individualism, hiring people based on their own platform. Hiring people or electing people based on who they are, what they've done, what they can do, and what how our belief is in them. We are supposed to elect people that we think can do a great job, not this. I mean, this partisan politics is sickening. And I'm not telling you Republican or Democrat. I'm just telling you. Now, the problem is, as a believer, you cannot vote Democrat. If you're a believer and you're voting Democrat, I'm sorry, but shame on you. You're voting for to spit in the face of God. And you're not voting for libertarianism. I've heard people try to convince me, well, I believe in freedom. And I'm like, the freedom to slaughter your baby while it's still in your womb? Well, you know, people have a right to do that. It's not my body. It's a woman's body. Well, it's not a woman's body when the baby's got separate DNA and God said it's a child from conception. We have to respect and protect that life. For God's sakes, what nation has it so a baby's not even safe in its mother's womb? It's not a fetal tissue. It's a baby. I mean, consider that. That child is in its own mother's womb. And it's not safe in this nation? That's sick, folks. Sick. And then you get into the, you know, the homosexuality thing. Now, here's my gig. Men, women, whatever, have every right to conduct themselves in any way sexually they choose. Absolutely their own business. What's done in the bedroom is nobody else's business, I mean, per se. And it's not all done in the bedroom either. But the fact is, that's their business. They have a right. I will defend that right as much as I may disagree with their activity. But when they want special rights or, you know, or unique rights because of their dysfunction, which is what it is, that's not up to me. That is not melding with God's creation. Okay, whatever. His Bible's very clear about the abomination of it. Homosexuals get lied to by the media and everybody else. They actually get lied to and told the Bible doesn't say this and doesn't condemn it, and that's completely incorrect. The Bible clearly, clearly condemns homosexuality. There is absolutely no question about it. It says it's an abomination to God, their creator. So please don't lie to yourself. But understand that we cannot condone or reward people for that type of behavior. Like I said, it is their right, absolutely, completely their right to do whatever they want. So long story short is, what I was getting at is you can't even vote Democrat if you're a if you're a Bible believer. And then we get this party divisions, which they want to win so bad they just sell out. So what happens is we right now, folks, facing this Chuck Schumer government shutdown at midnight tonight, Eastern, I believe, because they can't come to a budget agreement. Okay, well, what's really going on there? Okay, what's really going on is they're making it about DACA. What is DACA? The Dreamers Act. The Dreamers Act that Obama put in that said children who were brought here by their illegal immigrant parents and who are effectually functioning relatively well get to stay here. Fine. Fine. No debate. Makes good sense. Wasn't their choice. They didn't break the law. But is that so dang important that we should deny all of our federal employees funding, that we should stop all, you know, covert operations overseas I mean, this is what a shutdown does, that we should stop protecting our borders temporarily. This is what a shutdown does. It cuts back ICE. It cuts back all the, you know, the customs and border patrol and all this. Is this really worth it? No. The answer is no. So why are they doing it? The reason they're doing it is because they want a distraction. They want to be divisive. And that's why when John Adams said, I've repeatedly warned that there's, he said, there's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties. A division. This is, they're being divisive. It's continuous division. Now, granted, I'm on one side. I've got my bias too. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Republican Party is, you know, holy and righteous at all. In fact, there's a handful of people in it that I really like and believe in graciously, and there's a large group that I'm very disappointed and disgusted with. They're individuals. You should judge them individually. We should operate with them individually. So, but the fact of the matter is, the overall morality of the Republican Party, of what it is supposed to stand for, and the fact that it's the freedom of religion in the Republican Party and the freedom from religion in the Democrat Party. You know, anyway, I don't want to get into the partisan politics heavily, but the fact is this radio show now has evolved over time, and it's evolved because, for a very simple reason, because I used to talk about financial stuff, and now, you know, economics, religion, politics, it's all, it really has blended. Obama did that for us. He brought it all together under the Cloward and Piven strategy. We've got hardcore progressivism. We've got people that demand health care. You know, all these things. These are all Democratic policies. They, you know, they literally don't care where the money comes from. They just want the vote. So they bring in the illegal immigrants. And if somebody tells you illegal immigrants can't vote, they're not telling you the truth, because they do vote. They just go down and say they lost their voter ID card and they vote. Acorn was a classic. They took people around in buses. They found a gal that was on Fox News back after Obama got elected. She voted 23 times in a day somehow, 14 times for a bunch of other people. They got gift cards. I mean, folks, you can vote all you want if you want to cheat. That's why the Dems fight any kind of voter registration or any kind of ID. You need an ID to do absolutely everything else in life, especially now, folks. Everything you do now needs an ID. Everything you do, to an extreme. Frankly, we're living in a police state. We're all paying the price for the sins of the few, and they don't pay the price. And it's really frustrating that that is the way our system adopts. We don't attack the evil. We attack the good is what we do. We alter the good. Attorneys and all this stuff in society have things so twisted upside down and sideways, it's not even funny. But you get, you know, I went down to a business event at the Mandalay Bay probably a month and a half or a month after the shooting. I was in the Mandalay, and we went to the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show and everything. Folks, that whole hotel, you're getting wanded, literally metal detected throughout the entire hotel. When you're going to a show, they've got full top to bottom metal detectors everywhere you go. When you're coming in the casino, you go through top to bottom metal detectors. They make you empty all your pockets, all your shoes. I mean, come on. Is that making the bad guys pay? Or is that just maybe the terrorists are winning? My solution is different levels of concealed carry authorization or certification. And I say that we develop classes and programs that allow men or women, people, humans, to go through a varied levels of training to be certified and authorized to carry their weapons in certain environments. And I think that we should get, you know, say it was a class 4 concealed weapons license, that you went through all 4 levels of their training including, you know, shooting accuracy, understanding how to shoot indoors, understanding ricochet, and all these things. And then you can carry a gun indoors into private businesses or public places, unless the private business forbids it, whatever, that's their business. But the fact of the matter is, we that's how you attack this stuff. You arm the victim. You don't disarm the victim. That's what we're doing. We're saying, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this bad guy, this terrorist really got to us. We better further disarm the victims. We better make darn good and sure that the victims have absolutely nothing and no hope to protect themselves. That's what they're doing. It's that's what the actual outcome is. So keep that in mind, because it's just, there's a simple reason why the Second Amendment exists. The right to bear arms. The right to possess and the right to bear. And then when these cities, I do not understand how they can, the Supreme Court can allow cities to have such rigid restrictions on gun ownership that 98% or concealed carry that 99% of the people can't pass, can't get approved. That to me is a hindrance of the Second Amendment. But all you have to do is look at the state of California. We've got socialism in play. Why do you think illegal immigrants are pouring in here? Do you really believe it's because we've got jobs and it's the American dream? Heck no. It's because if you come to America, you get welfare, man. You and your whole family, you get housing allowance. By the way, if you've been living in a cardboard dirt floor shack and you're disease ridden and you can't own anything because it gets ripped off and you're making food out of the roots of plants, you know, cooked over a cauldron in a outdoor fire. It just is a horrible existence. So these people, the American dream, they trudge their way all the way here. And when they get here, they get on the welfare rolls right away. They get food stamps, housing allowance, daycare, health care, schooling. It is amazing. And to them, they suddenly are living in the lap of luxury. And we've got the attitude in this nation that, you know, the 1% stole everything from the rest of us. Folks, the 1% didn't steal anything. We are created in God's image. God creates. So therefore, man creates, and that's what makes us like God, okay, like the God of the Bible. We also create wealth. When you are taught to think in zero-sum thinking, where he has it, and that means I don't. If he didn't have it, I could have it. Like little kids, like there's one toy, and dang it, that guy took my toy, and I want it back. Folks, you don't even teach your kids to behave this way. You wouldn't even allow your children to behave this way. And we're behaving this way as adults, and we're being lied to by the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has become the party of radical socialism. And people buy in. Propaganda wins. You've got the fake news going 24/7, absolutely putting out false agendas nonstop. The narrative is just tearing people up. It's causing hostility and frustration and misery and discomfort. Just the constant Trump hate. All this stuff is literally tearing people apart. I know. I talk to him on a regular basis. It's sad, frankly. So our fathers tried to warn us about the party system. So tonight we're facing a showdown based over budget, really based over DACA, where we have the Democrats saying that they will shut down the government if Donald Trump does not agree. Now remember, the president of the United States is responsible for immigration and the borders. That's his gig. And then you get these moronic judges that put an injunction in place that say that Trump can't do anything with DACA to deviate from the way that Obama left it. Okay, This judge is so far out of his jurisdiction, he has no right. Why in the world this stuff gets honored, I don't know. But for some radical activist judge to be able to put an injunction against the President of the United States on one of his absolute intended responsibilities is beyond me. It's a broken system. It's based on precedent. And the number one detriment that we're facing today is the media. When Trump's crying fake news all the time, folks, it's fake news all the time. They will not stop. They are the devil in a way. They are the mouthpiece of the devil. They have no shame. They have no conscience. I did a show a while ago about reporters basically being less cognitively capable than the average through studies. This was actually a study that came out in a liberal publication, and they tried to spin it at the end. It showed that they drink more, they're more addicted to drugs, they're overweight, they're sleep deprived, they run on cortisol, they drink pop, and they have less of an ability, that they have complete emotional cognizance. They're unable to remain logic. And it says that they basically tie things together to such an extreme, they could easily be responsible for creating conspiracies in their minds. People say, why do only liberals go into the media? Well, that's not true. There are some good media personnel out there, journalists, reporters, whatever you want to call them. But in general, the system doesn't allow those people in. They will shred them up. So we are being fed all kinds of false information. We live in the information age. People are traveling to and fro, as Daniel said. Our founding fathers warned us. We have the Schumer shutdown ahead. Folks, just know with basic simplicity that this, it's all a shell game. It's all for show. You have literally Kim Jong-un, the prime minister or whatever he is of North Korea, threatening nuclear war. I was listening this morning to all of these hostages being held in prisons in Iran. They nab all these people. You get a kid from Stanford over there doing a dissertation for his PhD, and they nab him and call him a spy. They nab everybody and call them spies, and they accuse them of weapons charges and all kinds of stuff, folks. There's 26 of them right now in holding. When Obama did his pathetic nuclear arms deal with Iran, he left dozens of people behind, some for death. Some are dead now. Him and John Kerry were a sick couple. $150 billion they gave to the Iranians. For what? One individual said, told me, an individual that I know that actually is exposed to some pretty impressive people, said the story was Obama's mind is so skewed, his perception. He said, I got to get a nuclear deal with Iran. So he told John Kerry, do whatever it takes. And the story goes that John Kerry came back. Now, the Iranians basically were saying, pound sand. We won't do it. And John Kerry said, but President Obama wants it so bad. So just name a number, pick a number. And they came up with like $165 billion as a joke. It was an amount of money that was so insurmountable and unreasonable. And John Kerry came back to President Obama and said, you know, they want $165 billion. They negotiated to $150 billion. $150 billion. For what? I mean, for what, folks? And then you divide that by the number of taxpayers in this nation. Every taxpayer paid $3,000 towards that trash. Three grand to just throw money at Iran. Oh, by the way, they just have to stretch their nuclear program out over 10 years, but we'll help them. And we'll make sure our allies help them and blah, 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 blah. We just set them up and gave them amounts of money. Obama just said to John Kerry, do whatever it takes. Obama's perspective on reality is so skewed, he thinks it's a cool deal, a great deal. He did a good job, he thinks. And he left people there to rot and die. And then to get four guys out, he gives them $400 million cash. $400 million on a top of it all to get these guys out. I mean, come on, man. You know, we're broken. And I know I harp and I apologize. So let's do this. I'm going to go through some notes I have on my computer. We've got the shutdown on the way. Their immigration, I like where Trump calls their immigration proposal horrible, which is probably a pretty accurate depiction of what's there. Let's talk a little bit about what Trump has accomplished since he got in office. You ready for this? I definitely don't have time to go over all of it, but he's done 81 major achievements. 11 Obama legacy items have been repealed. So what he's accomplished is, first of all, jobs in the economy. There's 12 categories, okay? And instead of going over everything, I'll go over it. So you got jobs in the economy. He's got a tax reform bill that provides I don't want to do this to you. That's 81. I'm going to just do a recap highlight. Trump's kept his promises about jobs in the economy. He's got the GDP up over 3%. He's created 17 million new jobs. We've seen the Dow Jones explode through the roof, which, by the way, folks, don't go near that thing. Do not go. I don't know. Someone asked me the other day, will it go to 30,000? Probably. I don't know. But, I mean, it's too late to get in. Don't get sucked in. And, folks, don't get sucked into these scams. I am so sad at some of the stuff I hear you guys talking about. I mean, I get people calling me with all the craziest investment ideas. Follow God's word. Obey the Bible. It is simple. Don't hyper-complicate everything. Stay away from all these weird, you know, tax lien investments and terminal life insurance investment. I mean, this stuff's not even remotely biblical. It's a scam, and you're going to get burned anyway. Trust me. Find anybody who hasn't been. You know, supposedly someone's dying, and they have a life insurance policy, and if you buy a portion of it, you become a beneficiary. But really, you know, and then they end up turning their way around. These aren't, you know, there are countless scenarios where they have shown that these supposed investments are attached to people who are perfectly healthy. They just want money out of their life insurance. And they'll create false reports showing that they've got all these medical problems and so on. Avoid that stuff. Avoid annuities. You hear that word? Annuity. Bad. No exceptions. I have the same conversation with everybody. Everybody's annuity is different. They've got all these pitches and all this stuff, but yours is different. Yours is better. Well, it isn't, folks. I've heard that so many times, and I've actually tried to believe it so many times. I'm talking dozens and dozens of times. Go through the paperwork, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. You got the same package as everybody else. The salesman gets an extraordinary commission. The company, between the company and the salesman, commissions reach like 35% is average. 35% in an annuity goes to commission. And then they give you false statements or statements that make you feel good, but you can't get your money out. So what good is the statement that tells you they've got your money and it's in good hands? It's of no value. None. You know, I told a lady, she said, oh, they're paying me X amount a year for X number of years, and if I die, they'll continue for this long. And I said, add $100 a month and I'll pay that. Because if you do the amortization table and the math, they're coming out so far ahead, it's not even funny. When she dies, they'll have all of her principal still. You know, that's not good. That's not good math. It's not good anything. They use amortization tables, mortality charts. They know when you're going to die. They know what standard deviations are. They know what a 1.0 standard deviation, 2.0 and 3.0. They know what the odds are of you living outside of certain parameters in age. You're not going to do it. They know it. They know where the breaks are. So be aware, my friends, of annuities. Run. Call us. Let us put you into a nice balanced portfolio. We've got cool stuff, I assure you. Really good quality material. And the growth rate of it over time is astounding. Astounding. I won't get into all of it, but I'll tell you, over the long haul, it outperforms everything. And that is a documented fact. So, Trump, jobs in the economy, done a great job. He's getting things fired up, okay? Right now, did you guys see the old cryptocurrency dump? We've got the crypto. People are like, what are you talking about? So there's been a little cryptocurrency dump, and Bitcoin came down a tiny little bit. And you probably, if you're into Bitcoin, they've got all these reasons. Oh, it's about fraud and it's about revenge, I've read, and it's about regulation. It doesn't matter what it's about. It's the fact that it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. I mean, Bitcoin is not the best of the best. The Bitcoin is ultimately a fiat currency that is a threat. Now, so here's what I say to watch for. When there's a crash, you know, Bitcoin goes from 20,000 down to 9,000 or whatever. So people lost over half their money overnight. So here's what happens when you get a crash in a market. You always, folks, always, always get a double peak. So you get the first big dump, and then no one's ready to get out, and then you get all these other people, and it gets back to about 50% between the dump and the previous high, and then it dumps again harder. So basically what that would look like with the cryptocurrency is you got Bitcoin hits 20, drops to 9, and then turns around and comes back up to maybe 15 and then takes the big dump. It's a fiat currency backed by nothing. The work energy of a computer is what makes it money. That makes sense to you? Does it make more sense to you that God created an element? You know what an element is, folks? It's a compound. It's a molecular compound on Earth that can't be reduced to, and it's not made up of multiple elements. It's the simplest form of the molecular structure. And there's a number of them. There's maybe 90 or 100 of them. But think God made a specifically pure element, which he, by the way, says is bedecked throughout heaven. We mine it. We dig it out of the ground. There's a fixed amount. You can't make more. It's in the ground waiting. We take it out. It's beautiful. It's useful. We use it in jewelry and all kinds of things like crazy. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't respond to the atmosphere. There's nothing naturally occurring on Earth that destroys it naturally, regularly. Obviously, a volcano. But other than that, no. And it's a fixed asset that's always been there and always will be. And the Bible says it will always be there. And it starts in the second chapter of Genesis and ends in the last chapter of the Bible. Is that a good investment? I say, yeah. You don't get caught up in, I want to get rich. Oh, no, I'm missing the stock market. I could have been rich. I wish I'd had Bitcoin. I could have made a huge return. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. What goes up must come down. And if, folks, if you're in the stock market right now and you're killing it, have an exit strategy, please. Don't think it's going forever. It ain't. If you've had Bitcoin, take a ride into the second peak around 15 to 15.9. Get out, I say, because it will drop low, 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 low. People are going to lose faith in it after the second drop when it sits there. So we've got ourselves a crypto crash. We've got Trump, like I said, we're getting to the end of the show. I'll scan power. Jobs in the economy. He's killing job-stifling regulations. He's accelerating fair trade. He's boosting our U.S. energy dominance globally and abroad, domestically and abroad. He's protecting our homeland better and our borders. He's protecting our individual communities where we've got the Department of Justice more involved, accountability within government and judges. He's trying to combat the opioid thing. Some people consider that a strong thing. I think that's just a new drug war. Folks, I believe now is a great time. IRA 401k rollovers, rollouts or rollovers. If you have a smaller amount, roll it out. Get the money. No taxes due for 16 months. Trump's tax will be a half or better of what you would have been paying before. The growth in the metals over the next 16 months will more than cover any taxes that are due then. You pull the money out now. You will not owe taxes until April of 2019. Okay, this is a good thing, folks. This is what you go for. If you're thinking of rolling out, you want to hold the metals in your hand. You want to have them the way God wants you to have them. You don't want them sitting at the end of a bunch of mad electrical madness. You want the metals in your hand the way God designed them. Roll it out. You want to roll it over and just stay in the tax sheltered umbrella. Or maybe you're not 59 and a half and you want to wait until you're 59 and a half so you don't have the tax burden when you pull it out. We do that all day long. 401ks and IRAs, easy stuff. If you've got 10, 20, 30, 40,000 sitting around, 5,000, 7,000, I don't care, 150. We do portfolios. They're balanced. They're well thought out. They're quality. They perform. We sell everything at a rock bottom wholesale right now, folks. Literally rock bottom wholesale. I mean, I've never, relative to the market, ever sold coins as close to wholesale as I am now. I mean, I'm trying so hard to get material that I've had in my inventory of my own volition, my own savings for years, into the hands of clients when the value, when the market is right. There's value in this market, folks. Take advantage of it. Get a hold of us. Let us help you out. Stop procrastinating. God doesn't want you doing this. Thanks for tuning in again. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. I appreciate it. And pray for this nation. Pray for us. We appreciate it. And God bless you all. Bye-bye. Good night.